Broadcasting System, in cooperation with the United States Army and the United States Air Force Recruiting Service, brings you the new Mr. Ace and Jane program, a weekly half-hour comedy series starring radio's original comedy couple, the Aces. Once again, the strains of Manhattan Serenade introduce the story of Mr. Ace and his wife, Jane. Tonight, Chapter 12, entitled, Jane Has a Dream About a Racehorse and Makes Everybody She Knows Bet on the Horse, then drags Mr. Ace out to the track to watch her dream horse run. Or, as Mr. Ace puts it,
did you ever see a dream walking? You think the Kentucky Derby was a horse race? Wait till I tell you about this one. Be with you in just a moment.
Before we join the Aces, I'd like to tell you about a job that rates ace high with men all over America. It's a job that makes a good man an even better man. It's a job that offers the chance for advancement, security, good pay, intellectual challenge, and the highest type of comradeship. Sounds ideal, doesn't it? Well, thousands of young Americans will agree that an Army or an Air Force job is just that. You yourself, if you're a young man with big ideas for the future, will find that today's Army or Air Force offers more opportunities than ever before. Go to your nearest recruiting office, and chances are you'll discover that an Army or an Air Force job is just the job for you. And now, Mr. Ace, what was that about a horse race?
Well, I'm sure at some time or other all of you have gotten a tip on a racehorse. Somebody told you he'd walk in. And he does walk in. The only trouble is the other horses ran. I used to be quite a horse player myself, spent night after night working out my system. And then I'd go out to the track the next day only to find out the horses were against the system. Communist. The thing that really cured me, though, was a character I met in front of the $2 window one afternoon.
Hey, Jack.
Yeah?
Are you betting on this race, Jack?
Well, according to my figures here, I'm going to bet on...
Figures? Why, hey, look, you ain't one of them corny horse players that thinks they can figure them. Figures won't get you nothing. That's no good. I got a sure system.
Yeah? What is it?
Come in.
Yeah?
See them horses walking to the post? Well, every once in a while, one of them runs out ahead of the pack for a kind of warm-up, see? Hey, look, there goes one now, number two.
Yeah?
Hey, there goes another one, number six.
Yeah?
Now, you add them together. Two and six is nine, and you bet on number nine.
But two and six is eight.
There you go, figuring again. That ain't no good.
Oh. I played this system the rest of that day. I won $22,800,000. Retired from business, and I am now living lavishly in a 100-room villa in the south of France under the name of Simone Simone. That's what cured me of betting on horses. And I never even thought about them again until the other night when we were sitting around after dinner and Jane was rummaging around looking for something. She couldn't remember whether she had left it in the bureau or in the bookcase or was it at my office.
I can't remember whether I left it in the bureau or in the bookcase or was it Tuesday.
What are you looking for, Jane?
My dream book. How to Interrupt Dreams.
Interpret dreams, you mean?
Yes. Six nights in a row, I've dreamed about a horse. He's driving me out of my mind.
That wouldn't take a horse. What about this horse? What kind of a horse is it?
A horse, a quadruplet.
Oh, a quadruplet, I think.
What do you mean, what kind of a horse?
I'm sorry, Jane.
I dream I'm walking out of the house, and there he is, standing right in front of the door. The first night, I didn't think anything of it. Hmm. And I started to walk right past him. And he says to me, "Hello, cutie." Of course, I didn't even turn around.
A horse speaks to you and you don't even turn around?
Of course not. I didn't know him. I just thought he was trying to get fresh.
Hmm. A wolf, huh?
Yeah, you know how horses are.
Yes, I know.
So I started to walk faster and he started to walk faster. So I began to run up to the corner to get on a bus. And he began to run. And I beat him to the corner by a nose.
Hmm. And what did you pay to win?
Dear, I'm worried because the next night I dreamed he was there again. I walk out of the house, and there he stands, as big as a horse.
Mm, what happened this time?
This time he said, "Hello, Jane."
Oh, getting familiar. He certainly got his nerve flirting with a married woman he's never even met, socially, of course.
Exactly what I told him.
You did.
I said, "You've certainly got your nerve flirting with a married woman you've never even met, socially, of course."
Mm-hmm. And then what?
same thing over again. I ran to the corner and he ran after me.
How did that heat come out?
I beat him again.
He was probably carrying too much weight.
Yes, a 5-pound box of candy he wanted to give me.
I see. Apprentice allowance waived.
The third night, there he was again. And again I run to the corner. And again he runs after me.
Wait a minute, Jane. I'm giving 10-1 on you to win.
No, no. Don't do it, dear. This time he beat me.
Cannot win a bet. He beat you? How come?
Well, I'd been ironing all day.
And you were tired, of course.
And it was raining so hard.
And you're not a mutter.
No. Dear, I gotta find that dream book. I gotta find out what this dream means, because I'm sure he's trying to tell me something. Doesn't it to you?
Yes. I saw Sally reading a dream book at the office the other day.
She has? Oh, that's where I left it. I want to come down and get it tomorrow.
Yes, but I think you better get to bed now, Jane. I want you to be in condition to win that race tonight.
Oh, yes. I guess I better hit the hay.
Yes, you do that. And don't forget to break fast. Take the inside rail. And say hello to Clem McCarthy for me. Well, I am happy to report a little woman did the 6 furlongs to the corner bus that night in 1:13 2/5 seconds.
I win easy.
She won it easily. The next morning at breakfast, I gave her a nose bag full of shredded wheat and left for the office. With a big stack of correspondence to be answered, I called in my secretary, Sally Anderson, to take some dictation.
I wonder where my pencil is.
Miss Anderson is Jane's cousin.
Did you see my notebook?
That's how she holds her job.
I think I'll go down and get a malted.
You'll get no malted now. You just got here.
I didn't have time for breakfast, and I can't take dictation on an empty stomach.
Look, why don't we face it? You just can't stomach dictation. You're slow, your punctuation is bad, and you spell terribly.
I what?
Spell.
Oh.
What do you think I said?
Good morning, everybody.
Jane, what are you doing here?
Just fine. Hello, Sally.
Oh, hello, Jane. Oh, my, what a pretty hat.
You do? Oh, you've seen this hat before, haven't you?
No, I don't remember it.
Look, Jane, I'm very busy.
Oh, sure you did. I think you went with me when I bought it.
Oh, yes, now I remember.
Miss Anderson, this mail...
Is that a new dress, Sally?
Yes, it is. You think it's too long, Jane?
Oh, no, that's not too long. What color shoes do you have on underneath it?
Ladies, please.
Sally, do you know where my dream book is?
Dream book? Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, I've got it right here in the filing cabinet. I'll get it for you.
Thanks.
The dream book she can find. Her notebook she can never find.
Here it is, Jane.
Good. I've got to look up and see what a dream I've been having means. I've dreamed about a horse 7 nights in a row.
Oh, that's easy. You look under horse.
That's brilliant.
Horse. That's under H, isn't it?
I think so.
She thinks so.
There it is, horse.
Oh, yes. Horse walking, happiness. Horse running, trouble. Horse standing still, danger.
What was your horse doing, Jane?
All three. First he stood still, then when I walked, he walked. Then when I ran, he ran.
It's kind of confusing, ain't it?
Yes, ain't it?
Oh, no, it ain't. It means you're in danger of having a lot of happy troubles.
How's that again?
I can't say it again. Look, Jane, I've got a lot of work to do.
Was there anything else in the dream, Jane?
Isn't it?
Oh, yes, last night something else happened. After I raced into the corner, I was thirsty, so he got me a glass of water, and just when I was about to take it from his paw, the glass dropped and broke.
Oh, well, let's look up glass under G.
Oh, yes, glass. G, G.
Whatever became of me here?
Here we are. Garden giant ghost gloves. No glass.
That's funny, no glass.
Look up sand.
Sand? What's sand got to do with glass?
They make glass out of sand.
Glass out of sand?
Glass out of sand?
Dear, please.
Well, it's true. What did you think they make glass out of?
Glass? Broken windows and old bottles.
Where do old bottles come from?
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola, naturally, of course.
Oh, that reminds me. I was just going down to get a malted. Would you join me, Jane?
Miss Anderson.
Thank you. Yes, I'd like.
Oh. Now, what else was in the dream, Jane?
Well,
Alan. Isn't this awful? Well, the girls had their mauleds. Miss Anderson had one with an egg in it. Jane didn't have an egg in hers. She had to drive home. And when she got home, there was her brother Paul waiting for her. This character hasn't worked in 15 years. But when Jane told him her dream, he knew right away what it meant, because Paul is a horseman from way back. The first dollar Paul ever lost was on a horse. But lately, he's been picking a lot of winners.
But lately, I've been picking a lot of winners.
Not having any money, he makes mental bets on paper.
Not having any money, I make mental bets on paper.
And he has made a tremendous paper profit.
But what can a guy do with 40,000 sheets of paper?
He could buy a villa right next to mine in the south of France. As I say, Paul knew right away how to interpret the dream, and he did it without a dream book. He used a racing form, which he happened to have on him at the time.
Sis, that dream can mean only one thing. Seven is the key number. You have to bet on horse number seven in the seventh race today.
Horse number seven. Now, who's that?
Yeah, I got it right here. Hey, here you are. Number seven. His name is Itching Palm.
Itching Palm. Yeah, seven-year itch. There's another seven.
Oh, it's a tip if I ever heard one. Now, we've got to go out to the racetrack today, Jane, and really clean up on this horse.
Oh, the racetrack, yes. Let's go. I'd like to see what my dream horse looks like in the daytime. We'll be partners, huh, Paul?
That's the ticket, Jane. Partners. How much money do you have, sis?
$14.
Oh, there's that number seven again. $7 each.
Yeah, another seven. It's on candy. Oh, well, that must be Ken Roberts. He said he's coming over. I'll let him in.
Hold it just a moment. Jane has gone to the door to let in our next-door neighbor, Ken Roberts. He's the radio announcer. You hear him on the radio all the time. He does commercials like,
Ladies, try Tepsic. Remember, Tepsic contains Zippity, without that harmful doodah.
And it does, too.
Tepsic comes in three sizes. The small size for tired eyes, if you've been reading too much. The medium size for tired feet, if you've been walking too much. And the large size, if you've just been sitting around the house.
Okay, that's Ken Roberts, and Jane is explaining the deal to him.
And Paul and I are going out to the track to bet on him. Do you want to come along, Ken?
Well, I don't know, Jane. I've got this commercial to do tonight on a show, and I got to rehearse it.
Oh, but we'll be back in time. Come on, Ken. Come out to the racetrack with us and win a lot of money.
But, Jane, how can you be so sure you'll win? After all, you beat him yourself six nights in a row.
Oh, now, isn't that silly, Jane?
Now, isn't that silly, Jane? Am I in this race this afternoon? It's some other horses, not me.
Oh, don't beg him, sis. If he doesn't want to bet on a good
well,
thing...
Well, isn't that, Paul? I got this commercial to do, and I get paid for it.
Say, do you think you'll make more money on your plug than this one out of the track?
Well, okay, I'll go with you, but if you got to let me rehearse this commercial right now.
Okay, you rehearse it, and I'm going to call up the office and tell them we're going out to the track. Be with you in a jitney.
Right, Jane. Say, high school seniors, feels pretty good to be on that last lap, doesn't it? Just a few weeks till graduation time, cap and gown, excitement, and then what? Would you like to go right into a job that's really exciting? A job that offers you a swell future? Sure you would. And that's just what lots of your high school chums are doing. They're getting into the aviation career plan of the United States Air Force. That plan is just about the best deal there is for high-type young Americans. Here's the score. If you qualify under today's Air Force standards, you can pick just the type of technical training you want before you enlist. Yes, sir, maybe you want to specialize in airplane engines, or perhaps you'd like to find out what radar is all about. Or are you a ham radio operator who wants to turn professional? Or would you like to start learning now about the new field of jet propulsion? Take your choice, men. You choose your course, and if you qualify, the Air Force guarantees you'll get it. Get to your nearest recruiting office right away and join the thousands of other high school grads who'll be your buddies in the great United States Air Force.
When Jane phoned to tell me she was going to the track, I wasn't in my office. I was in the office of my boss, Mr. Norris, and the call was switched there. You'd have to know Mr. Norris and the proverbs he's always spouting to understand why I couldn't talk horses and racetrack in his presence. If he even sees me just sitting around the office not doing anything, he remarks,
"Idle men are the devil's playfellows," I always say.
So I tell him I'm resting.
"To rest is to rust," I always say.
So I mutter something under my breath.
"A man's best friend is his mutter," I always say.
Now you can understand why this following phone conversation with Jane was so one-sided.
"Hello, dear. Is that you?"
Yes, Jane.
"This is Jane."
Mm-hmm. I'm rather busy right now, Jane.
I know. You're with Mr. Norris, yeah. So I won't talk loud. I'll talk right into the mouth organ so he can't hear me.
What did you...
Paul and Ken Roberts and I are going out to the racetrack to bet on my dream horse. We're partners. So is Ken. Ken is not a partner, but he's going. So if you worry about where I am, dear, don't worry. I'll be at the racetrack. I'm wearing my check gray suit.
Hey, Mr. Race, make that short, please.
Yes, sir. Jane, no.
No what?
No, I don't like it.
Oh, you don't want to talk in front of Mr. North?
Yes.
Well, which is it, dear? You don't like me to go to the track, or you don't like the gray check suit? Just nod your head.
Well, I'm busy right now, Jane, but I wouldn't do that if I were you.
The suit or the track?
Yes.
Well, all right. Then I'll wear my tan gabardine. Are you going to bet on him, too, dear?
Goodbye, Jane.
It's going to win, dear. Paul says if this horse loses, he personally will be very surprised.
See you later, Jane.
Well, it's about time, Mr.
Ace. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Norris. That was Mrs. A. She was asking me about...
The race is not always to the swift, I always say, Mr. Ace.
Oh, you heard what she... Well, she has a hunch on a horse in the seventh race today, Mr. Norris, and her brother is taking her out to the racetrack to bet on it. He says it's a cinch to win... But you know how those cinches are. The horse could get left at the post and lose.
They also serve who only stand and wait, I always say.
But not in a horse race, Mr. Norris. Personally, I don't bet on horses.
Good. A fool and his money are soon parted, I always say.
And that's what I always say, too. But her brother expects to make a cleaning on this horse.
Ill got is ill spent, I always say.
Yes, you do. But you see, she had a dream about a horse, and today she looked him up in the thing there, and her brother talked her into going to the track to bet on it. He seems pretty sure the horse will win, but I don't think so myself. But then on the other hand, yes. Well, I guess I better get back to my office. I want to finish up this work I started here. I might go on over to that client of ours this afternoon if I get finished in time. Let me see. Post time is... I'll see you later, Mr. Well, you guessed it. About mid-afternoon, I sneaked out to the racetrack. There was quite a crowd. I didn't know that many people were in the advertising business. I was beginning to wonder how I could find Jane in such a big mob when I heard a voice say to me...
Hey, Jack, who you betting on this race, Jack?
Look, my name is not Jack. My name is Simone Simone, and I'm sick and tired of the South of France. I quickly shook him off and figured out that I might find Jane at the paddock where they saddle the horses. And sure enough, there she was. So were Ken Roberts and that brother of hers. They hadn't spotted me, so I stood off a bit and listened to this choice bit of dialogue.
There he is, Ken, number 7.
Yeah, Itching Palm. Do you recognize him from your dream, Jane?
Well, he looks kind of different with that caddy sitting up there on him.
Jockey says.
I'll speak to him. Hello. Hello there. Remember me? Oh, he shook his head, yes. Itching Palm, I want you to meet my friend. This is my brother, Mr. Sherwood, and this is Mr. Roberts. Boys, I want you to meet Mr. Palm.
And I'm Mr. Ace, Mr. Palm.
Here, are you here?
No. How do you do, Mr. Palm? Any friend of my wife's is a horse on me.
Well, brother, never expected to find you out here.
Well, Paul, I always expect to find you out here.
Hello, Mr. Ace, you're just in time.
In time for what?
Dear, we're in a quarry.
Yes?
We've been waiting to bet on Itching Palm, but we practiced betting on the other races, and now we haven't got enough money left to bet on him. We wanted to bet $14, but we're a little short.
How much short, as if I don't know?
$14.
$14, yes, I thought.
We were just about to ask Ken if he would lend us.
You're just in time, Mr. Ace.
Yes, I see what you meant now. What happened to the other races? I thought Paul could handicap the horses so well.
Oh, he is, dear. He's a real handicap.
I know, yes, he is. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll bet $20 on the horse and we'll all be partners. That's $5 apiece.
Oh, right? That's wonderful, dear.
Gee, thanks, Mr. A.
Okay. A measly $20 you're gonna bet on this horse?
Look, measly, I happen to work for my money and $20
is... This is a sure thing. This is a chance to make a killing. Don't you want to make a killing?
Don't tempt me.
Dear, people are looking.
I don't care if they are. I'm not going to bet more than $20 on that broken-down nag.
Please, dear, Mr. Palm is listening.
Oh, I'm very sorry, old man. What am I saying? This brother of yours upsets me so.
Dear, look, there's Mr. Norris.
I don't care who. Who?
Mr. Norris, see him over there?
Oh, no, he better not catch me here. I'm gonna duck.
But too late, dear, he already saw
it. Oh, isn't this awful?
Well, hello, Mr. Norris, long face, no thief.
Mrs. Ace, good afternoon. And Mr. Ace, I suspected I'd find you here.
Well, you see, Mr. Norris, that client I went to see,
this is my brother, Mr. Sherwood, Mr. Norris.
How do you do?
And I got through kind of early, and
this is Mr. Roberts, Mr. Norris.
How do you do?
And you see, the client was out, and
Yes, Mr. Ace, what is it you're saying?
What was the question again?
The question is, how do you find time to come to a racetrack when you should be working at your desk?
Well,
He came out to bet on my horse.
Oh, fine.
Are you so overpaid at our office, Mr. Ace, that you can afford to bet money on horses?
Well, no, I don't usually.
Are you going to bet on him, Mr. Norris?
I've already bet $500 on him.
$500?
Are you so overpaid too, Mr. Norris?
Please.
$500? Now that's what I call a real bet on a good thing like this. There's a man, when he comes to the races, he comes to bet.
Mr. Sherwood, I came to the races to find Mr. Ace, and so it shouldn't be a total loss I made a wager on a horse.
But Mr. Norris, that's too much money. A fool and his money are soon parted, I always say.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained, I always say. I expect to win a lot of money on this horse, Mr. Ace.
Yes, but ill got is ill spent, I always say. How can you bet that much on just a hunch that Jane had?
Get a hunch and bet a bunch, I always say.
That I never heard you say. Never.
Uh-oh. They're going to the post. Now listen, brother, if you're going to bet on this horse...
Yes, sir, you better hurry. They won't let you bet after the race is over. I found that out.
Oh, you did. Well, yes, I guess I better. Will you excuse me, please, Mr. Norris?
I'll excuse you if the horse wins. Should he lose, you stand to lose something more than just a horse race. So for your sake, I hope he wins.
The feeling is pari mutuel, I always say. Well, this simple little claiming race I came to bet on turned out to be a stake race. My job was at stake. I made the $20 bet with fear and trepidation. There's a nice parlay. As I turned away from the window, I remembered Mr. Norris's $500 bet, so I decided to shoot the works. I bet the other $2 I had in my pocket. If I lost, I'd walk home, and maybe somebody would be kind enough to run over me. I made my way back to the rail where Jane, Paul, Ken, and Mr. Norris were watching the horses line up. The announcer was on the speaker system.
They're all in there. Steady. And they're off! And number 7 breaks on top. That's Itching Palm. At the corner, it's Itching Palm in front by length. Sabu, second. Drexel, third. Summertime, fourth. Lucky Girl, fifth. High Card, sixth. And Trailblazer, 7.
Jane, he's leading.
Come on. Seven.
Oh, I hope he can keep up that pace.
At the half, it's Itching Palm by 2 lengths. Drexel is now 2nd, Summertime 3rd, Sabu 4th, Lucky Girl 5th, High Card 6th, and Trailblazer is 7th.
2 lengths in front now, James.
He's running easy, sis.
Come on, Mr. Palm.
Come on, Job.
At the 3/4, it's Itching Palm by 3 lengths. Drexel 2nd, Sabu 3rd, Lucky Girl 4th, Summertime 5th, High Card 6th, and Trailblazer is still 7th.
Look at him go, Jane.
I don't think I could even beat him today.
Come on, Itching Palm.
Mr. Ace, you'll see me in my office in the morning.
But Mr. Norris, he's in front.
In front of whom?
That's Itching Palm out there in front.
Itching Palm?
Yes, that's
him. Into the stretch, it's Itching Palm by a neck. Drexel 2nd, Lucky Girl 3rd, and here comes High Card on the outside, moving up to 4th. And it's going to be High Card, the winner, Lucky Girl 2nd, Drexel 3rd, Summertime 4th, Sabu 5th, Trailblazer is 6th, and Itching Palm is 7th.
Oh, isn't that terrible, Jane? He finished 7th.
There's that number 7 again.
Mr. Ace, he won, and he pays 4-1. I've won $2,000.
$2,000? What did you bet on?
The hunch Mrs. Ace had.
What?
High Card. You didn't tell me the horse, but it was easy to figure out. High Card is the ace.
Oh, you thought... High Card. Yes, Ace.
Mrs. Ace, thank you very much.
High Card. Mr. Norris, I'm afraid you made a terrible mistake.
Mistake? Jane, quiet. His horse won.
But he bet on the wrong horse.
Wrong horse?
Jane, please.
I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Norris. Didn't we tell you we were betting on number... Ow! Here, you stepped right on my foot.
Oh, okay. Gee, Jane, I'm awfully sorry. I hope I didn't hurt it because we've got a long walk home. And so I sold my 100-room villa in the south of France. And as our boat sailed away, we waved a fond farewell to the sun as it sank slowly into Jamaica Bay, along with my $22. The next morning at breakfast, Jane started in again.
Well, dear, I dreamed about my horse again last night.
I don't want to hear about it.
I really told him a thing.
I'll bet you did. No, I won't bet either.
I said, how do you expect to win races if you stand around all night on street corners whistling at girls and married women to boot?
I'd like to.
He told me I should never bet on a horse race.
Oh, now he tells you.
He said he wouldn't bet a nickel on the human race.
Oh, now there is a horse with good man sense.
And then he said goodbye. He's never coming back again.
Well, that's good riddance.
He said he's made enough to retire from racing.
From running seventh, he makes money?
Sometimes. He told me all the horses bet each other where they're going to finish in the race.
Oh, I suppose he bet he was going to finish seventh yesterday. How could he tell exactly where he was going to come in?
Well, he's got a system.
A system.
He watches the people that come to his stall before the race. Mm. He said yesterday there were three. That was Paul, Ken, and me. Then he said two more came up. That was Mr. Norris and you there. So he adds them together, 3 and 2 are 7, and he bets on...
Oh, I know that system. He's going to do fine.
Well,
yes.
He's already won 22,800,000 bales of hay.
And that ain't money.
So he's retiring, and he's going to live in a 100-room stable on the south coast of France under the name of Whirlaway.
Well, a neighbor of mine.
In just a moment, I'll give you the title of Chapter 13 in the story of Mr. Ace and Jane. I'd like to make a mighty sound suggestion to all the young men in our audience. Fellows, do some serious thinking this weekend about your future. See if an Army or an Air Force job doesn't fill the bill for you. Remember, when you join today's new Army or new Air Force, you're on your way to a great career. You'll be given every chance for advancement. You'll receive good pay, comfortable living quarters, clothes, medical care. You'll have no worries about future security. And you'll be on a team that's a winner every time. Today, the Army and Air Force teams are keeping America strong so that we'll continue to be winners at peace. Next week, Mr. Ace and Jane will bring you Chapter 13, entitled, Mr. Ace is assigned to start an advertising campaign for a baby food, and that same day, Jane obligingly finds an abandoned baby on her doorstep. All of which reminds Mr. Ace of the story of...
The story of a newly married couple who were undecided whether to buy a car or have a baby. They finally decided to have the baby because they could get quicker delivery. Good night.
Thank you.
The script for Mr. Ace and Jane is written by Goodman Ace. Original music conducted by Morris Certain. In the supporting cast were Leon Janney as Brother Paul, Benny Rubin as the racetrack character, Eric Dressler as Mr. Norris, Florence Robinson as Sally Anderson, Everett Sloan as the racetrack announcer, and this is Ken Roberts reminding you that you may hear Mr. Ace and Jane next week at this same time over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. We'll be right back.